Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tacoma to Toronto, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. Huge show coming up for you this morning. We are breaking good news with Joey Waller coming your way in approximately 35 minutes from now. He usually drops by to break bad news. Instead, today his dulcet tones will break some very big personal news for him in a very positive, happy way. So he'll join us coming up in about 40 minutes past the hour. Also this hour, the 12 DAs of Christmas, Mraz has a, quote, dietary disability. It's number 6 of the 12 DAs. That comes your way in about 15 minutes from now. Our Gidget of Gadgets, Katie Linnendahl, is going to drop on by the show an hour from now to give you some Christmas gift ideas. We're 2 weeks away, even less from Christmas, which is just kind of crazy to think about. So we've got some great gift ideas coming up from Katie. She's always wonderful. And the Battle of the Bulge, Mraz and Huge Freeze knotted in a not-so-tight battle. With 3 weeks to play, Huge trails Mraz by 5 games. 5 games. So essentially, since they both are picking 3 games, Mraz leads by 5 with 9 to play.
Kill him with the, kill him with the, kill him with the head's high. Kill him with the no.
Can Mraz collapse and allow an opening for Huge Freeze? It would need to be both a literal and figurative monster hole for Huge to walk through. He'll be in studio coming up in the 3rd hour for the Battle of the Bulge Picks. We may only be 3 weeks away from eternal banishment by Huge.
Runaway train, never look back.
On top of all of that, we've got a huge Thursday night game. Chiefs and Chargers tonight from Arrowhead. We've got the Warriors sleepwalking yet again and a very frisky Raptors team ready to take advantage. College football expansion discussion and so much more. As always, hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. On Twitter, get at me on all of those topics, questions, comments, concerns, DA on CBS.com. We begin in Oakland, where you know what? This story grabbed some legs yesterday, but really took off yesterday afternoon into the evening and now this morning, that this could be the final days of the Oakland Raiders in the East Bay. That we could be staring at in 3 weeks the finale for the Raiders being in Oakland when they play week 17 at home. You've got the city of Oakland throwing a lawsuit at the Oakland Raiders for their relocation. They just filed it. And so now Mark Davis is saying, I don't feel like playing next year, 2019, in Oakland, because then I'm paying lease to a stadium and a city that is suing me. You've got a city saying, we don't want you in 2019. If you want to leave for Vegas so bad, just leave. And now conversations about where the Raiders could play, whether that is San Diego, Portland, Oregon, San Antonio, Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, home of the Niners, or somewhere else. And all of this is so aggravating to me. It is so obnoxious. Because you have the city of Oakland trying to screw the Raiders. You've got the Raiders trying to screw the local politicians. And you've got the NFL standing by, hands at their chest, watching the whole thing go down, allowing the fans to be the most screwed. I mean, you're not going to tell one of the best fan bases in the country that, oh, by the way, your last home game ever is coming up. You're not going to try to solve this if you're the NFL. You're not going to step in and give some type of certainty to the situation. Well, shame on you, NFL. Does the league even care about fans that have supported this franchise by and large for 60 years? The answer appears to be no. It is where we begin. It is your cold open.
That is crazy. And that, to me, that just seems weird. You know, it just seems different to even have to think that way. Because I spent 5 years playing in this stadium, and, you know, we have people talking trash about it and whatever they want, but I love it. You know, it's ours, you know, and it's been fun. The fact that it could be the last is crazy. But when that time comes, we'll enjoy it, you know, when it comes.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Derek Carr on how insane this is that we may have only 3 weeks left of the Oakland Raiders. And this, to me, falls at the feet again of a league that has shown absolutely no empathy, has shown no compassion, has shown no understanding of what these cities go through when you rip apart their team and rip a team away from them. The NFL is a $10 billion a year business. And the NFL treats its cities like absolute trash. The NFL treats all of the women it has been married to for years as an afterthought and flirts with the new hot thing at the bar every chance they can get. Ooh, Los Angeles, glitzy, glamorous Tinseltown. We'll move there for you. Ah, shut up, St. Louis. Ah, shut up, San Diego. Oh, Las Vegas, yes. The nightlife, the strip in a brand new stadium. Ah, shut up, Oakland. Go away. Ooh, Nashville. Beautiful. Ah, shut up, Houston. Oh, Indianapolis. Shut up, Baltimore. Go away. Oh, Baltimore is a stadium now. Shut up, Cleveland. Go home now. Ooh. Glitzy, glamour, new, shiny. No matter what happens, the one constant in the NFL's history has been forget about the people that brought you there. They do it with the NFL players all the time. These former players that put the league on their back and dragged it to the precipice of glory, dragged it up the mountain, dragged it into a modern sphere where the owners are making money hand over fist, have to fight tooth and nail for their settlements. Tooth and nail. The fans that have been showing up in Oakland since 1961. The fans that have shown up at a decrepit old stadium for a team that went basically 0 for the 2000s. A fan base that has shown up passionate, loyal, loud, boisterous, emotional. They haven't sat on their hands in Oakland. They've worn spikes for shoulder pads. They don't show up late and leave early. They paint their faces silver and black. And they wear Bo Jackson and Kenny Stabler and Fred Biletnikoff jerseys. These people don't even know whether they've got two home games left because the NFL doesn't have the compassion to tell them, sorry, guys, this is it, or don't worry, guys, this isn't it. I think this stinks. I think it stinks because the NFL watches a city fight with a team and doesn't get involved and says, oh, you know what, you guys figure it out. What the NFL needed to do before all of this happened was step in, appease hard feelings, tell the city of Oakland, do not sue the team. Let's make sure 2019 can be some type of honorary swan song for the Raiders. If we're going to rip them away from the city that loves them to go to Las Vegas, where we don't even know if they'll support an NFL team, we're just hoping, we're crossing our fingers because they're going to build a stadium for us. Let 2019 be an honoring of the fans and of the bond with the city. So we'll step in. You know what? We will pay fees for you. We'll give you a check here. We know that you're going down a rabbit hole. We understand that there's financial leverage that you guys have or that you want. You know what? Let's just make sure both sides understand one another, and let's play this out kindly over the final year. Essentially, you play the mommy and daddy are getting a divorce, but for the kids, let's stay together until they're in college. At least play nice at graduation. At least don't fight with one another and get into some type of spaghetti throwing contest over graduation dinner. And what the NFL refuses to do is walk in and say, let's make it right. Because they don't care. And that's my biggest gripe with this NFL administration. They don't care enough. It doesn't matter if on Thursday nights, both teams are dressed up in Halloween costumes so that they sell a few more Nike jerseys. It doesn't matter if multiple cities have their fan bases torn to shreds because you want to get into Los Angeles and Las Vegas. It doesn't matter if you continually disrespect the fan bases that have built you up by sending, let's just say, football games that we like over to London so that we can't watch them in person. It doesn't matter what happens. The common thread is the NFL doesn't care about you. They don't. They care about them. And it is such an easy fix. All of this is so easy. Just respect the fans a little bit. We're just asking for a little bit. And in this case, Raiders fans should have known that this was the final season if this was going to be the final season. They should not wake up on December 13th and go, well, crap, I got to get to one of the final two home games because who knew this was going to be it. The NFL has the power and the influence and the money to fix this, and they won't because they're cowards. Because they are cowards and they are selfish, greedy cowards, the worst kind of cowards. There is no reason Raider fans shouldn't know whether this is their final season. And there's no reason this should be the final season because the NFL could make it right on both sides and allow next year to be an honoring of the bond between the city and the fan base. But they won't. Selfish, greedy cowards. Embarrassing. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, the 12 DAs of Christmas. We are at number 6, officially midway through a dietary disability. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, the sweet sounds of a throwback Thursday here on the DA Show. We appreciate you being with us. As always, there's so many ways you can listen to the show, especially on your phone. Check us out using the CBS Sports app or the radio.com app or Apple Music. Also, you can check us out by listening online, cbssportsradio.com, or just simply watching it at watchda.com. WatchDA.com for the simulcast. Cook it right now. Available on any device. Coming up, Joey Waller breaks good news. Usually, we have him on to do the running bit, Joey Waller breaks bad news, and we play the elevator music because when you hear Joey's dulcet tones, everything feels okay no matter how bad the news is. But we just got word yesterday that Joey has enormous personal news, and that is great news that he's going to share with us. And so a very special segment of Joey Waller breaks good news coming your way at 40 minutes past the hour. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Sarah tweets, DA, are you kidding? The NFL doesn't ever care about fan bases unless it's the Patriots. If they want to spend so much money on moving the Raiders somewhere else, why don't they fix the current stadium? Well, Sarah, I would tell you I don't think that the Patriots fans get any great acknowledgement or benefit of the doubt from the league either. I think ultimately the NFL just does not really care. They take for granted all their fan bases. They take for granted that we will be there constantly. And then when we don't show up a little bit, it becomes, oh my God, what do we do? How did this happen? You know, ratings.
How did that happen?
Exactly. Ratings were down a slight bit last year. Oh my God, what's going on? Oh, it must be the protest. Well, we've got to do something there. But what ends up happening is this is a slow drip. And what they do is erode the loyalty that we have to the league in general. Now, we are all addicted to it like crack cocaine, and so we keep coming back, but eventually the dam will break because you just can't treat your customers this poorly over and over and over and over and over again. And the NFL has so much money. What they could have done was step into St. Louis, San Diego, Oakland, and took all of their gobs of cash and built new stadiums. They could have found even playing field. They could have found moments and places within the discussions to step in and bring two sides together because ultimately it's always about money. And they get all of these expansion fees and they get all of these television fees and they get all of these merchandising fees. And what do? They do not sink it back into the stadiums. They tell you, you need to pay for the stadiums. You know, the city of Oakland brought forth a plan. The Raiders would say it stunk. There are certainly people in the East Bay that would say it stunk. But there was a plan, and they could not find the middle ground, the excess, and who would pay for that. Well, the NFL could step in and say, we'll do it. The NFL could take all of the money they are going to make from Super Bowls in Los Angeles and say, you know what? We'll take a drop out of that bucket and we'll help you keep the Raiders in Oakland or we'll help you keep the Chargers in Los Angeles. But they won't. They won't step in and help municipalities fund the difference on stadiums because they say, well, Las Vegas is going to build one for themselves. So we get free money there. So great. We'll take the free money. We'll take the free stadium, wherever it is. We'll take it. And they've done this forever. Wait, you'll pay for it? Great, you pay for it. The NFL is your rich friend that always has alligator arms at dinner and never picks up the tab when the bill comes. You're like, dude, you know, you're a hedge fund manager, and I'm always picking up the tab? Oh, man. Hey, DA, thanks for picking up the bill, man. Thanks. I'm like, yeah, thanks. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks. That's the NFL. Constantly. Oh, you'll pay? Great. That's awesome. Let's get to your number six moment of the year on the 12 days of Christmas. This one's titled A Dietary Disability.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Tired of it. Stayed up till midnight, get 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
You're actually crying.
These two guys. Let's break some more chairs, guys.
That's unfair.
You know what's unfair? Going after a 98-year-old woman of the church. Of the church!
What kind of pot?
A crock pot.
No, I don't believe I know what kind of pot that is.
He looks like a big boy, and that's something you would have said,
oh,
too.
Oh, I definitely would.
I am a big boy.
Mraz, you can take off the blindfold now and tell us if this is Miss Chicken Pesto.
Yes, it's a hair!
What a ball of joy you are. That's amazing!
The time is now! The place is here! And the whole wide world is filled with cheer!
We are truly getting into the greats of the greats. Number 6 comes to us from Wednesday, September the 12th. And the date and the day is important here. Because that Saturday would be my wedding reception. And Mraz was crawling at the walls, scratching at everything that came into his way, asking desperately, what is on the menu? This one is entitled A Dietary Disability.
Number 6.
It should be noted that, just you personally, you could be skinny. The rest of your family is thin.
Well, I mean, since my sister's got boyfriends, I wouldn't go that far.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
What are you saying? Oh, my God.
That was a bad joke.
Wow.
Feel the layers.
And I'm the mean one, Pete. He just called his sisters the F word.
Yes.
And said
blatantly
they became the F word because now they're happy with their boyfriends. And I'm the mean one.
No, because you were trying to take me down in front of my family, so I got to take my whole family down now with me.
But they're thinner than you.
They are. Okay, great. I don't know. I injected yodels and Coca-Cola into my body my whole life growing up. I didn't have the wherewithal. What do you want from me? I'm a walking diabetic poster. I don't know what you want me to do. I didn't make myself that way. I'm drinking white powder for breakfast this morning, trying to lose 2 freaking pounds. And you know what's for lunch? Brown powder. Also, I can fit a damn shirt so my button don't pop in Pence's face on Saturday. Thank you. Thank you. This is what you've done to me. You made me break because you had to taunt me with being fat. I've been fat my whole life, been taunted. Don't make me strike back. Now I'm taking down loved ones.
I'm not asking you to take down anybody. But you are also the person that is begging information from me every day about how the pasta bar is going to work.
Because I have a mental disability. I'm obsessed with food. I want Fra Diavolo to slap me in the face like a river the moment I enter this place on Saturday night. I want sausage and broccoli to be slapping me in each cheek and go, ooh. Give me a damn gift I want to eat. It's a mental block. People can show up to a wedding and go, I'm just dancing. Not me. I'm stuffing my face for 4 hours. What do you got? Line them up.
Boom.
And that's a mental deficiency that I can't get past.
I can't.
And now I'm getting a BLT for lunch. Forget the powder.
I can't believe you called it a mental disability.
It is. It's a mental block I can't get over. I smell a hot dog. I gained 5 pounds.
Number 6 on the 12 DAs of Christmas. A mental disability. I don't think that's how that works. I'm taking down loved ones. What do you have to say for yourself that you are calling your sisters not thin on the radio?
I heard a lot of problems, and I could tell you that there are certain relationships within my family that have been slightly altered since that day in September, where, you know, everything might be okay on the surface, but there's some deep-rooted issues stemming from that segment. Fat. And it was wrong of me. It was wrong of me to do that, and I was caught in a hangry moment. And much like yesterday when I talked about, you know, Andrew Bogus dropping dead, there are some things I'd like to have back that came out of my mouth this year, and that would probably be one of them.
Is that a good New Year's resolution, perhaps in 2019, thinking before you lash out at others?
Here's the bit on New Year's resolutions. Yes, I should make that one. I never stick to them anyway, so I don't know what I could do there other than just warn everybody that more is to come.
So your relationship with at least one of your sisters is permanently altered because of that rant.
I'm probably speaking out of turn and even saying that now and not thinking before I speak, but I would say there have been some side eyes thrown at me that really, yeah, since that date, things have not looked the same, and it hurts me ahead of the holidays.
I injected myself full of yodels.
You know what? Frankly, I blame my dad. There was a lot of Coca-Cola and Drake's products when I was younger.
Here we go.
Because that's what he ate, and now that's what I ate. And I stay away from that stuff now. I really do. I only eat real baked goods, not fake baked goods, but still. Dad hurt me when I was younger, and that put the weight on early, and it's always been tough to get off. So, yeah, I mean, I have some inner demons because of all of that. So it's just, this is the life I live.
You wanted Fra Diavolo to slap you in the face and go, ooh.
And guess what? I went around the world at that pasta bar multiple times.
Yes.
And had a lot of docks and cookies. A lot of moist.
Yeah. Yeah. You did damage at my wedding.
I did. Wait till you see the damage I do at Pete's wedding next week. I wanted to lick the cream right off your cheeks. I'm running up the score.
It's going to be like the Rams offense over at Pilates. Let's
put up a 50 spot.
Going deep. It's going to be like a Big 12 game. When we come back here on the show tonight, Chiefs and Chargers. Let's look at this game and ask the question, are the Chiefs vulnerable? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
Come on. Yeah, be here all day, big boy. Come on, bring it.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I'll be here all day, big boy. Come on in, bring it.
Oh, okay.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio and the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, is available. Long-form deep dive into the company Christmas party in Marais. Having one too many drinks.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
As well as an inner look at where the 12 Days of Christmas has been and where it's going. And what right now is being called, granted we may be prisoners of the moment, but what is right now being called the worst DA show segment ever. We look inside Jacob Wilkins, hit earlier in the week from the winter meetings, and ask a very honest, very earnest, very transparent question here on the show, because you know what? Sometimes we swing and miss. But as Wayne Gretzky once said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Was Jacob Wilkins' spot at the winter meetings earlier this week the worst segment in DA show history?
He faked us all out.
We ask all of those questions, pertinent questions, on this week's PGP.
Wiener.
In fact, Pete, maybe you could just cue up a quick drop from what is now being considered, again, could be prisoner of the moment, but perhaps the worst segment in DA show history.
Bellagio in a deep left, cha-ching, and they're on the board in the bottom of the second.
Okay, not bad. No, it was bad.
The pause says it all from you.
Yeah, no, it was bad.
Let it marinate for 1 second.
You can relive all of the tragedy of Jacob Wilkins from the winter meetings, giving us absolutely nothing interesting nor funny.
Well, if I must. All right. Line drive, left center field, base hit coming around is Amendolora, a seafood platter for all tonight.
Okay. And the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp win.
A Jumbo Shrimp win, of course.
It only gets worse from there. That's all part of this week's PGP, available on iTunes and all places podcasts are downloaded, and on our website, daoncbs.com. Tonight, a Thursday night game that's got a lot on the line. If the Chargers have any chance of winning the division, they've got to win tonight at Arrowhead Stadium. Chargers are only a game back of the Chiefs of the standings, but Kansas City did win earlier in the season. If the Chiefs win tonight, huge for Kansas City. A win over the Chargers means A, Chiefs win the AFC West, so they host a playoff game. B, they've got a bye. And C, they stand one win or one Patriots loss away from home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I think we all know the Patriots are a different team at home than they are on the road to the postseason. They don't play on the road much, but when they have not performed well over the last couple of years. They lost two AFC championship games in Denver. The last time they won a road playoff game was 2006 in San Diego. That was the Marlon McCree game. And The Chiefs at Arrowhead, historically a house of nightmares in the playoffs, but you would much rather have the Patriots come there than have the Chiefs go to Gillette Stadium, where it always seemed like you're not only fighting Belichick, Brady, and the Patriots, but also calls, officiating, scoreboard, time management, and all the weird things that happen at Gillette Stadium. So if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, getting the number one seed is absolutely mandatory to a playoff and a Super Bowl run. Are the Chiefs vulnerable tonight? Yeah. Yeah, they are. Defensively, we know they're not stout. Defensively, we know there's big plays to be had. And since losing Kareem Hunt, since dismissing Kareem Hunt after the video surfaced, they have had two very close games that they had to pull out of the fire against the Raiders and against the Ravens. Now, the key here is that the Chargers do not have a solution for the Chiefs, especially at Arrowhead. Phillip Rivers and the Chargers have consistently gotten picked apart by the Chiefs and Andy Reid. But we know that Phillip Rivers can create big plays. We know the Chargers are dangerous, and we know the Chiefs are susceptible to giving up points. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored tonight, and I think that the Chiefs will have to outscore the Chargers. And I think there will be more than a scare put into Kansas City tonight. I think the one key here is that the Chargers are losing Melvin Gordon and their top two running backs on the roster on the depth chart, which is going to hinder what the Chargers can do on the ground in a big-time way. That helps out the Chiefs majorly. But are the Chiefs vulnerable tonight? Absolutely they are. Absolutely they are. And even if the Chiefs lose, they still have a hope at winning the one seed, bringing home the one seed and home field advantage. But suddenly you start getting a little tight because you've got to go to Seattle next week on a Sunday night. So you lose tonight to the Chargers. You then got to go to Seattle. And again, you're allowing the Patriots an open door to come in and seize the one. Then you wrap up the season against the Raiders. Is that right? Is that how the rest of that season goes? Believe so. So it becomes of utmost importance tonight to finish this thing off now and not start the pressure building of getting that one seed or even at least winning the division. We usually have him drop by to break bad news. Today, it's the opposite.
He's the only man in America who can make you feel good about really terrible breaks in life. It's Breaking Bad News with Joey Waller.
Joey, good morning.
Morning, DA.
You just visited us for the PGP a couple of weeks ago. That was a lot of fun. And now to have you back on the show is even better. How's everything been since I talked to you last?
There's been some news.
Some news. Now, usually yes. It's bad news, but from what I'm gathering, there's good news.
Yes, I'm engaged, DA.
Joey Waller got engaged. This is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. It is nothing short of amazing. I mean, I'm off the market. 80 ladies eat your heart out, right?
How did that happen?
How did it happen? Break the good news to us. How did you do it?
We had a day in New York on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. It was to the day, 2.5 years that we had been dating, Shari and my fiance.
Uh-huh.
And so we went into the city. We had dinner at my favorite and what's become Shari's favorite steak place, Ruth's Chris.
Uh-huh. A very notable New York establishment.
Yeah, some will debate me on whether it's the best steak out there. I like the way they cook it in butter on the sizzling hot plate. That's a debate for another day.
Okay.
We had a little time beforehand. We were a little early for the reservation. We were near Rockefeller Center. Shari said, let's go look at the tree.
Uh-huh.
I said, the tree? I haven't been to the tree since I was up on my father's shoulders. That's how long it's been.
Wow.
Literally.
Uh-huh.
Went to look at the tree. She said, let's go over to the skating rink. I said, really? The skating rink? I said, what's after that? An I Love New York t-shirt and an Empire State Building figurine? I mean, how far do you want to take this?
Perhaps a New York City taxi mug?
A little handsome cab ride in 25-degree weather? What's your fancy? So we did the tree. We did the skating. It was actually nice. We got a chance to take some photos, start to create a little photo log of the day. Went for dinner, great as usual. Then the reason I picked this date is to plan it around what was next. I had told her there was a surprise event in Midtown after dinner. She didn't know what until we got there. Shari's favorite movie of all time, going back to her childhood, is Mary Poppins.
Okay.
And so, as you may know, Disney has a new Mary Poppins Returns that's coming out next week. So because one of my jobs, I work for another network and for Disney, I was able to pull some strings, DA.
Wow, Disney VIP, Joey Waller.
Little media preview screening.
Whoa, look at you, big shot.
Very exciting. So, of course, she was surprised. She loved the movie. Two highlights of the movie, by the way. One, and I'm not giving anything away here because it's been pretty...
Yeah, spoiler alert on the Mary Poppins reboot.
Yes. This has been pretty well publicized in movie circles. Dick Van Dyke, 93 years old, who, of course, starred in the original Mary Poppins, makes a great cameo.
Very good.
Steals the show. At one point in the movie, about two-thirds through, I excuse myself to go to the bathroom, my phone back on in the lobby.
Oh, right? Boy, yeah.
Check some baseball trade rumors out in the lobby, go to the bathroom, come back into the theater. Oh, on my way back in, I was going to turn the phone back off, but I have to admit.
I love the idea that you just got engaged and you're worried about the JT Real Muto trade in the lobby.
Well, the engagement hadn't happened yet.
Oh, okay.
So I'm about to walk back into the theater, was going to turn my phone off, but I was getting a little tired of all the on and off. I said, screw it. I'm going to sit back down. If the phone rings, I'll just kill it quickly. I sit back down in the movie. Shari's sitting to my left, and to her left, there's a couple sitting. I'm back in my seat for a couple of minutes. The phone was in my lap, face up, and all of a sudden, the woman seated to Shari's left leans over Shari, leans over, puts her head right next to mine, and nasty, nasty, she says to me, will you turn that off? The light is really bothering.
Good. Good for her.
Yeah, well, because she was nasty, I said, you know what, lady? This is, where do you think you are? We're at Mary Poppins, not La Boheme at the Met. Get lost.
You did not say that.
I did.
You told her to get lost?
I was feeling my engagement night oath.
And what did she say when you told her to get lost?
I think she was as shocked as when Dick Van Dyke popped up on the screen.
By the way, you say to the day, 2.5 years.
Right.
So it's not actually an anniversary of a date. You had to actually do the math. That was 6 months into year number three.
You know what? I got to be honest. It was really planned around the Mary Poppins, but it just didn't work out that way.
Yeah, so when you say to the day, it wasn't to the day of anything. It was to the day of the Mary Poppins screening.
Well, it was to the day. It just happened to be dumb luck.
No. There was no to the day. Don't say that. So anyway, you got down on one knee after the Poppins movie. We only got like 90 seconds here. You're taking too long.
Got down on one knee, and in true DA show Breaking Bad news fashion, I said, honey, the good news is you're getting married. The good news is you're getting married. The bad news, it's to me. No, but I got the phone rolling to videotape it, and got down on one knee, did my thing. She was emotional. I was emotional. And, you know, I kind of let us both get it all out. And then I said, all right, let me put Mets hot stove on and see if we got JT Real Muto.
How did you record it? You put it on video and you set your phone aside? Like you put it on a tripod or something?
I stood it up on its side on the coffee table beforehand under the guise of taking some photos of her. I said, let me get a couple of really good photos.
Wow.
Let's turn the light up. I'm going to put the phone on the table so it doesn't shake. And she's like, really? And, you know, like most women, she can be like a private detective. I had to make sure that she didn't know I was up to something.
That's a real nomad-esque move right there.
I know, showing the multimedia skills of a DA out at Boise, Idaho or something, right?
Hey, Joey, congratulations, buddy. We're all very happy for you, man. That is very cool. Very, very cool.
Appreciate it. You know what made me finally pop the question, by the way? Last thing I said to myself, I know it's the right time because if Pete Bellotti can get two women to say yes, I can certainly wrangle one, right?
Joey Waller, breaking good news with Joey. Congratulations again. When we come back, we've got your Christmas gifts from our Gidget of Gadgets, Katie Linedahl, in studio for the Christmas Spectacular. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.